Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to thee. Thanks for the miracle of your rosary. Only you can hold back your holy son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Oh, Holy Mary, dear Mother of God, please pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death, and thanks once again for the miracle of your rosary.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is what is so important today, the miracle of the rosary. And with everything that's taking place right now, we want to go to Our Lady, the patroness of the Americas and the United States. And I'm going to focus on this prayer. And then I've got John the Virginian, who's going to be coming behind me to give that expert analysis that I love that he has. He's got a great gift there. So I'm going to go ahead and start. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And so I'm going to begin with this. I've had a number of people recently that I've talked to that have been asking me about these prayers to Mary. And so I thought I would kind of cover this one because this one is so important. So beginning with this, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, who is this that comes forth like the dawn, beautiful as the white moon, pure as the blazing sun, fearsome and celestial visions? This is about the Virgin Mary, and this is in Song of Songs in the Bible, chapter 6, verse 10. The Queen of Israel, going back to King Solomon, the Queens of Israel, going back to King Solomon, were always the mothers of the king. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 gives the original account. Then Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king stood up and met her and paid her homage, which means respect, by the way. Doesn't mean worship, means respect. Then he sat down upon his throne, and a throne was provided for the king's mother, Bathsheba, who sat at his right. The queens of Israel took an advisory, intercessory role placed on a throne sitting at the right hand of the king, as Bathsheba interceded on behalf of Adonijah, and these names kind of kill me too. But anyway, the Virgin Mary, at a far greater capacity, intercedes for all her children, those who follow Jesus. Revelation chapter 12:17 states, then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. As queen and as a loving mother, the Virgin Mary is most gracious in her role acting as an intercessor before the King of Kings. That, and following with the prayer, that never was it known. Think about this. That never was it known. The promise that God gives to his people show his endurance to be there for us. It is infinite because God is infinite. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 states, "Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." God is faithful. Psalms 25, verse 8, verse 10. Psalms 25, verse 8 and 10 states, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble in righteousness and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth towards those who honor his covenant and decrees." God is faithful. The question becomes, are we faithful? Sometimes we place ourselves outside the Lord's protection because of sin. This is where the Virgin Mary becomes a great intercessor as she works to evangelize the cause of Christ. She is always praying on our behalf. Since her assumption and coronation in heaven, Mary is tirelessly reminding us to be faithful to Jesus and his Catholic Church. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 gives reality of heaven's participation for the cause of Christ. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God." Heaven will never let you down. Okay, the next piece, that anyone who fled to thy protection. Psalms 45, verse 11 to 13 states, "Listen, my daughter, and understand. Pay me careful heed. Forget your people and your father's house, that the king might desire your beauty. He is your Lord. Honor him. Daughter of Tyre, honor him, daughter of Tyre. Then the richest of the people will seek your favor with gifts." Talk about the rich here, spiritually speaking. This is being rich in spirit. If you are rich in spirit, you are open in your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, accepting the grace God offers. Not only do we flee to God's protection when we recognize the danger, we run. We will run to God's protection. If we understand, we're not like a mouse in a maze, not knowing what's coming before us. When we know it, we are there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 tells it all. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." What great consolation we have in this, in that we serve a great God who loves us. When our Lord Jesus Christ and his mother are with you, it is actually the evil spirits that flee and is in a hurry to run away. If we call out to the Lord, he will not abandon us. Heaven is just on the other side of the veil. And then it says, "Implore thy help." Psalms 54, verse 4 states, "O God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth." There are times when life just beats you up. People get hopelessly in debt. They can't find a good job. It seems like the world is crashing down on you, and you just can't get out of the rut. That is when we need to rely on the Lord all the more. This is what is in the room, in the norm. There are also those who find themselves behind the lines of cold, dark evil. We need to hold faith in the Lord against all evil. They might be able to take our body, but they cannot take our soul. Our Lady, appearing all over the world, is constantly calling for us to be strong in the Lord, to call out to Him. Psalms 124, verse 8 states, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. God does not need all the angels and saints to help him with salvation, but he chooses, out of love for his creation, for you and me, that heaven exists to aid us in our need. And then the next piece, "Or sought thy intercession." James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 states, "Is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise them up on the last day." Well, the Lord will raise them up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. This is par excellence on intercessory prayer. Notice that the priest is called to administer the anointing of the sick. That is a sacrament that we can have faith that the Lord hears us. As Our Lady prays and intercedes on our behalf, so is the host of heaven praying for us with a whole choir of angels. How wondrous this is as the praise and glory offered to God at the third heaven where the altar of God is. Revelations 8, verses 3 through 5 states, "Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a gold censer. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer, along with the prayers of all the holy ones, on the gold altar that was before the throne. The smoke of the incense, along with the prayers of the holy ones, went up before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with burning coals from the altar, and hurled it down to the earth. There were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1-4 states, which is an important text, "First of all, then, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. What is pleasing to God on earth is very much happening in heaven." And the next little line, "was left unaided." That's an important piece right there. We're left unaided, was left unaided. Psalms 34:18 states, "The righteous cry out. The Lord hears and he rescues them from all their afflictions." Our joy is complete when we are secure in the Lord. People strive for happiness, but that can be a fleeting journey because joy is far more to the Christian. The Lord aids us in all our afflictions and our joys, and our joy is a great gift. Psalm 63:8 communicates this perfectly. "You indeed are my Savior. And in the shadow of your wings, I shout for joy." There is so much found in the Psalms. I also look at Psalms 18, verse 36. "You have given me your saving shield, your right, and has upheld me. Your favor made me great." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the seed promised that would come through the faithfulness of the woman. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers," which it also says, they, she, he, they, we'll say hers, "will strike at your head while you strike at their, her, his, heel." No matter how you look at this, Our Lady plays a major role in the salvation of the world through her Son. And then the next little piece, "inspired by this confidence." So we are to be inspired by this confidence. Hebrews chapter 4:16 states, So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Think about this one for a moment. The Catholic Church takes us directly to the throne of grace through the Lord's mighty sacraments. That is a result of God's protection through His Church. Remember Jesus on the cross, Church, another means to the throne of grace when He gave His mother to St. John. John chapter 19, verses 26 to 27 states, when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, He said to His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then He said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Through the Virgin Mary's intercession, she takes us down through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, where we experience in depth where Jesus' divine mercy is endless. We have confidence in this truth. Our Lady is always calling for us to approach the throne of grace through the sacraments. How important that is. I fly unto thee. As the Virgin Mary was given protection by God saving her son Jesus from the spears of King Herod, so too we are protected. Revelation chapter 12, 14 states, But the woman was given the two wings of the eagle, great eagle, so that she could fly to her place in the desert, where far from the serpent she was taken care of for a year, 2 years, and a half year. Egypt was a temporary safe haven for the Holy Family until the danger had passed. Likewise, we can fly to Our Lady, who is our Queen, takes us to the Lord, and our souls can rest despite being under attack. Jesus through Mary is a sure means of spiritual aid. Pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. Revelation chapter 14, 6 reports of a flying angel stating, Then I saw another angel flying high overhead with everlasting good news to announce to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. When we fly to Our Lady, the Queen of Angels, we receive the fruit of the gospel given to us by Jesus Christ, the founder of the Catholic faith. O Virgin of Virgins, my mother, where Eve fell in disobedience, Our Lady was obedient. Her fiat gives us our hope. And Mary said, My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Or I would actually say, My soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked upon His handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear Him. He has shown might with His arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry He has filled with good things. The rich He has sent away empty. He has helped Israel, His servant, remembering His mercy, according to His promise to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. And then this next piece, to thee do I come. Psalms 42 verse 2 states, As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God, when I enter and see the face of God. Anyone who seeks the Lord, He will accept you and bless you for your coming to Him. Seek the Lord while He can be found, as the Scriptures teach. Our Lady promises to be with you, encouraging you of His love for you. Psalms 45, verse 17 through 18 states, The throne of your fathers, your sons will have. You shall make them princes throughout all the land. I will make your name renowned throughout all generations. Thus nations shall praise you forever. These princes who are Our Lady's sons are the same who our Lord made a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth. Revelation chapter 5, 10. John chapter 14, 23 states, Jesus answered and said to them, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Jesus gives us a Eucharistic promise, very, very similar, stating, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, and I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Before thee I stand. Acts chapter 7:55, speaking about St. Stephen, he had a vision, states, but he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. St. Stephen would be the first recognized martyr suffered in the Catholic faith by those opposed to Christ. We need to come before the Lord, humbling ourselves before him. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 16 states, when David raised his eyes, he saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth and heaven, drawn sword in hand, stretched out against Jerusalem. David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, and fell face down. And David prayed to God, was it not I who ordered the census of the people? I am the one who sinned. I did this wicked thing. But these sheep, what have they done? O Lord my God, strike me and my father's family, but do not afflict your people with this plague. Here David is acting as an intercessor for us. That is what Our Lady does. Sinful and sorrowful. Romans 3:23 reminds us that of our spiritual conditions, so that we all need Jesus Christ, because all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. St. Paul is making it clear that we will stand before God in judgment, and we plead for the Lord's mercy. We are sinful, and we should be sorrowful. We are given Jesus' forgiveness, who reveals his glory to us. We see his glory every time Our Lady appears from heaven. Many Eucharistic miracles, we see our Lord's glory. God's grace is the means by that we can enter in his kingdom. 1 John chapter 1 through 9 states, if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. When you go to confession, you receive Jesus' forgiveness of sins, and we are made clean. This is why Our Lady calls us for us to go to confession often, at least once a month, and especially if you have mortal sin. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, Jesus is the Word Incarnate. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. Mary is Jesus' mother, and the angel Gabriel made this statement. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no relations with a man? And the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Despise not my petitions. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 19, St. Paul states, with all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones, and also for me, that speech may be given me to open my mouth, to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel. We are to pray for the Pope, for all the bishops in union with him, and for all the Lord's priests and religious. We are to pray for our needs. Jesus gives this word, Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20. Again, amen, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Our Lady takes these petitions and submits them to our Lord by his choice. It is a measure of his love. St. Paul makes this statement to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Just looking at this beautiful prayer, the Memorare, offered to Our Lady, our hearts are presented before the Lord through Our Lady. The Lord knows what is in your heart, in our hearts, but when you have His Spirit acting behind those petitions, it does make a difference. And then it's here, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. It is common for Catholics to ask Our Lady for mercy. We see this here, and we see this in the Hail Holy Queen prayer as examples. In asking for her mercy, we are not making her a deity or any kind of a goddess. Not at all. We are recognizing Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that has placed his mother at his right hand, as queen. Consider Esther chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. When the plot became known to Mordecai, he told Queen Esther, who in turn informed the king in Mordecai's name. The matter was investigated and verified, and both of them that were going after Mordecai were impaled on stakes, something I don't want to happen either. This was written in the annals of the king's presence. Mordecai asked for mercy and received it through Queen Esther. I love the story of Our Lady, her visit with her son, her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." St. John the Baptist, hearing the voice of Our Lady within the womb of his mother, began to dance for joy. Amen. The basic meaning of the Semitic root from which it is derived, firm, fixed, or sure, and the related Hebrew verb also means to be reliable and to be trusted. The Greek Old Testament usually translate amen as so be it. In the English Bible, it is also often frequently rendered as fairly or truly. So that is really a short perspective of the memorare. John, I guess that was a mouthful. That was more than I had anticipated, but do you have any thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I got quite a bit to say here. I'm going to start with one of the proof texts that Protestants try to use against Catholics, and it ends up backfiring on them because they think that it proves their ideology, but it actually proves ours. And let me read this from Matthew chapter 12. And this is going to kind of be my step-off point of what I want to say here. From Matthew chapter 12, verses 48, 49, and 50. But he answered him and told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And stretching forth his hands towards his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father that is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." See? So the Protestants point to this and say, see, this shows Mary's nothing special. Jesus' brothers and sisters are nothing special. It's he who does the will of my Father will be my mother and brother and sister. Well, I'm sorry, they've got it wrong. Jesus is not saying that Donald Hartley can be Jesus' mother. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not what's being said here. That's an absurd interpretation. Right? What Jesus is saying here is profound. What Jesus is saying here, and it's said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's said in Revelation chapter 12. It's said in John chapter 19. Jesus is saying here is, behold your mother. What he's saying here is that those who do the will of my Father in heaven are sons and daughters of my mother, and they are my brothers. That's what Jesus is saying here. Okay? You brought up because when you look at what Elizabeth said, when Jesus says, he who does the will of my Father, well, what did Elizabeth just say? You just quoted it. Blessed are you who heard the word of God and obeyed. So when Jesus is saying, blessed is the one who heard the word of God and obeyed, he's talking about his mom. That's who he's talking about. All right. So I want to talk about a typology that you use, that we've used on the show over and over again. But I'm going to talk about it from a new angle, an angle that we haven't really emphasized, but it's a very important angle. And that's the typology that you use from 1 Kings chapter 2. All right? We recognize that King Solomon represents the Davidic kingdom. So King Solomon is a type of Jesus, and most people will recognize that. Well, obviously that makes Mary, or that makes Bathsheba a type of Mary, the Queen Mother. What's being lost in all this is, who is Adonijah?
Which, by the way, just listening to you, you do so much better in proclaiming his name.
Yeah. Adonijah was Solomon's brother. Here's Matthew 12 being fulfilled right here. Adonijah is the brother of the king and the son of the mother. How do you like that? Here is the brother of the king going to the mother of the king asking for intercession. That's us right there,
well,
Donald. That's our Catholic faith right there. Okay? This is what's being shown here. The brother of the king, Adonijah, goes to the mother, the queen mother, to ask her to intercede. Yes.
I'm going to need you to take this for a few minutes because I've got A.B. May here, so I got to get down there. But I'll just let you know I'm out of the net real quick.
Okay.
So
for anyone who's listening, listen to what's being said here. Okay? You're talking about the brother of the king, Adonijah, is going to the mother of the king and asking for intercession. This is a typology. This is not something that's in the Bible accidentally, because the typology of the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the New Testament. What we're literally being shown here is this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. And the problem that we have with all this, me and Donald and Deeper Truth have been working on something called the Faith Blaster. And the last two parts of the Faith Blaster, they're all based on the first five episodes are based on the words faith, F-A-I-T-H, and F was focus, A was aim, I was intensity, and the last two are to be truth and heart. And we've been kind of trying to figure out how to deal with this, truth and heart. And it's kind of dawned on me, well, I don't want to say it's dawned on me, it's inspiration, I guess. God has kind of put it in my heart that this is my lifelong struggle here. My lifelong combat, and maybe the lifelong combat, maybe a lot of people are going through the same thing that I'm going through, but my lifelong combat has been the tension between these last two, between truth and heart, between our mind, our analysis, our understanding, and what we feel and hope and what to believe. And there's definitely some tension. There's definitely some tension in that. Because sometimes, let's face it, folks, sometimes the truth just sucks. It just does. If you're a doctor and you have the job of coming and telling somebody that their loved one just died, just like it's a child. I'm sorry, your child didn't make it. If you've lost a son like I have, you kind of understand that. One of the very first episodes that we did of Deeper Truth way back when, we did an episode called Blood on a Pew, and it was based on the book of the same name. And we had the author. It's just an awful story. It's an awful story. It's about Billy Gaines, who was a wide receiver, kick returner with the University of Pittsburgh, played there when Larry Fitzgerald, who is now a star in the NFL, played there. And one day he's horsing around in the attic of a church, a Catholic church, horsing around in the attic of the Catholic church, and he falls through the ceiling. And you know, they get summoned by the police, and they have to leave from Maryland to go to Pittsburgh, and they're driving to Pittsburgh to their son's in rough shape, and Bill Senior's mother called him and said, "Bill, don't worry, I've been praying to God. God is good. Everything's gonna be okay. Billy's gonna be okay." By that time, Bill Sr. had already received the word that Billy was gone. Fell to his death from the ceiling of the Catholic Church. Literally blood on a pew. Folks, how do you put a happy spin on that? How do you face that truth in a pleasant way? The heart doesn't want to comprehend. This can't be God's will. This can't be God's will. Why would God allow this to happen? Why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he save my son? We prayed. We had faith. We trusted our son would be taken care of in this situation. And I kind of felt the same way when my daughter went to a Catholic college. She enrolled in a Catholic college to get her four-year degree. And she ended up leaving that college an atheist. She went there and lost her faith. How can this happen? And if you're in present circumstances, everything that I'm saying now seems to be the exact opposite of everything that Donald opened the show up with. Never was it known that anyone who saw your intercession implored your help. What? Do you think I never implored Our Lady's help for the preservation of my kids' faith? Do you think I never implored Our Lady's help for the protection of my family? Well, of course I did. Why was I not aided? Those are questions from the heart. And that's where heart opposes truth. See, because the problem with truth is, in order to understand the truth, you have to know all the facts. I mean, how many times have we heard a person is convicted of a crime they didn't commit? Because there was this piece of the story that wasn't known, or this piece of evidence that wasn't known. So we as human beings try to assimilate and try to understand truth as best we can, but with our finite minds and our limited knowledge, it's really hard to do. And that's why God gave us a church. God gave us a church and made that church infallible. So, because he knew how difficult it would be for us to find and accept truth. And how many times have you heard it? The Catholic Church believes A. Well, where is that in the Bible? Where is the Immaculate Conception in the Bible? Well, I can show you by virtue of this fact and deduction and this fact and deduction. But if you're asking for somebody to show me a chapter and verse that says Mary was conceived without sin, it's not there. It's not there. So sometimes we have to depend on people smarter and wiser and holier than us. We have to trust them to lead us to the truth when we can't see it. Because everything that we play in the memorare, everything that we play to God, rescue me in my time of trouble, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened to you. I don't know how many countless times that the evidence to my eyes has looked just the opposite. And that's truth. And that's the assimilation of truth. And that's what makes it so difficult. Because the prayer that Jesus in Gethsemane kind of opens our eyes to this a little bit. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will be done. So we have to believe in the truth. Our church has told us never was a person who sought Mary's aid left unaided. We have to believe that as truth. The church has revealed that to us as truth. So we have to believe it. But our heart tells us what that aid and help should look like. And folks, I'm going through this right now in my life. I'm not talking up on a pulpit somewhere. I'm going through this right now in my life. There's help that I need from God. And that help has been delayed, not forthcoming, however you must say it. And it's hard to reconcile those two. It's hard to reconcile this, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you with, okay, every one of the martyrs. Where were you, Lord, helping Joan of Arc? It's a shock to our senses to believe and grasp that she had to die that way. She was chosen by God. If Joan of Arc was chosen by God, then our human logic dictates to us, our heart dictates to us that, okay, Joan of Arc would be preserved and all the people who opposed her would be set on fire. That would seem to be what justice would dictate. That would seem to be our version of truth would look like. Okay? We look at this situation as we say, wait a minute. The guilty were exonerated, and the innocent was burned at the stake. How does that proof jive with our understanding of a merciful and loving God? See, but we can only look historically at that situation. We can't look at judgment because we weren't there. We can't look at final judgment because we're not yet there. But at final judgment, it will all be sorted out. It will all be sorted out, and it will all be understood. And so there is this tension between truth and heart. And there is this tension between never was it known that anyone who pled to your protection implored your help. And boy, I go through this fight, this war, this internal war, every single day of my life. Every single day of my life, I go through the war of a person who is deeply analytical and yet deeply emotional. Those two persons don't get along in the same body. They just don't. And it's part of my upbringing. It's part of my absorbing into my own personality the traits of my father and my mother. And you look at that and you say, wow, what a contradiction. What an absolute contradiction if this person is deeply analytical and deeply emotional. And it's absolutely a contradiction. And I'm here to tell you I'm a living contradiction. My entire life has been a living contradiction. And that's why all those who know me have witnessed this roller coaster. And they're like, why is he doing this? Why is there this? My kids describe it as volatility. Why is there this volatility? There's this roller coaster, as if I'm doing it on purpose. It's not. It's this war, this internal war between what I see and what I know. And sometimes the two don't look anything like each other. Sometimes that you don't look anything like each other. And when you allow truth to take over, it at least keeps the ship on course. And I guess the way to keep it on course is to just take everything to its logical end. So what happens if Dr. Phil was good at this? Take everything out to its logical end. If I stay on course, if I remain faithful, what happens if all the bad things that I think are going to happen, happen? What happens if I lose my home? And folks, it's possible. It could happen. What happens if I lose my home? What happens if I die on the street? What happens? I go to heaven as long as I remain faithful. That's truth. Where, devil, is your victory? Where, devil, is your sting? That's truth. Jesus promised us victory. He didn't promise it today. He didn't promise victory in all of our present circumstances. He didn't promise victory in all of our struggles that we're going through in life. But heart is over here in the corner saying, wait, whoa, hold on. I thought you were a father. You said, Jesus, what father, when his son asked him for an egg, would give him a snake or a scorpion? Well, if you ask anything of faith, your Father in heaven will give it to you. What? Folks, our Catholic faith is tough. It's tough because sometimes truth doesn't look anything like we think it should. The truth that we see is that the wicked prosper. The wicked prosper. The evil prosper. The liars prosper. Look at our president of the United States. Probably, without a doubt, one of the biggest liars, one of the most corrupt, compromised, absolutely depraved politicians in the history of the United States. And he's president of the United States, driving this country over a ditch. How does that happen? How is that God's will? Especially because of all of the people that prayed for a different outcome. God allowed this election to be stolen. It wasn't his will. He didn't cause it to happen, but he didn't stop it. Why? How is that true? We have to understand, folks, sometimes God sees things in the bigger picture that we don't understand. And the turmoil that we go through as families, the turmoil that we go through as a nation, sometimes just doesn't make sense to us, to our truth. But when Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, folks, we have a choice to make. We either believe that or we don't. And it's a tough call, because we have to believe something oftentimes that doesn't look like the truth. Doesn't look like the truth. Because many times, let's just face it, many times it looks like God has forsaken us. You can't look at what's happening in Afghanistan now and say, this is great. I'm so glad this is happening. You can't look at 60 million babies murdered and say, this is great, this is wonderful, this is truth. And it's human. It's absolutely human to fall down sometimes. And folks, I do. I fall down sometimes. I fall down sometimes into that pit of despondency. Why, Lord? Why? Why can't I get a break? Why can't so many people that are so special to me get a break? Friends, family, people who just seem to get knocked down and knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. And why did evil prosper? Time after time in the public life, in our personal lives, time after time after time, the evil prosper. Evil get all the breaks. They seem to have all the luck. And there's that word, luck. As if everything happens is so random. There's that tension, folks, between truth and heart. They really are at war with each other, truth and heart. They really are at war with each other. And when you have both inside the same person, man, many of you don't understand the hell that my life has been in that respect, to be at war between truth and heart. Have your heart ripped to pieces, ripped to shreds on a daily basis by your own family. And to try and reconcile that with God's will. Disappointment after disappointment, when you pray to God for relief from one calamity only to be hit with another calamity, and it almost feels like God is on his throne throwing lightning bolts down at you. That's how it feels. That's how it looks. feelings aren't facts. See, feelings, that heart, that's about what's going on inside of me. That's about what the devil is putting inside me. See, because the devil goes after the heart. The devil targets the heart. But see, truth is something that exists outside of me. Quantum physics is true. I don't understand the first thing about it. No idea. No clue. Couldn't explain it. Biology, way over my head. Way over my head. That doesn't mean it's not true. Or that doesn't mean that there's not elements of it that are true. And many people in our society have made cottage industry of trying to say that what's true is not true and what's not true is true. Many people have made a cottage industry of denying the entire concept of truth. That everything is relative. All truth is relative. There are no absolute truths. Oh, okay. So there are no absolute truths. Correct. So that's a fact. Correct. Well, that would make it an absolute truth. It's one of those self-contradictory arguments. But folks, you can stand there all day long and deny gravity. But every time I throw a rock up in the air and it comes back down, it proves that you're wrong. And it's the same thing with crucifix. God's given too many examples. He's given too many examples. There's been too many miracles. And yeah, you ask, where's the miracles in my life? See, that's the heart talking. That's the heart talking. Because the problem with questions like that is there's too much that you don't know. And I'm accusing myself here, folks. I'm accusing myself here. Self-correction. There's too much you don't know. All you know is about the 5 calamities that hit you this week. But you don't know about the 10 more that didn't hit you because God stopped them. You don't know about those calamities. And you don't know how God is taking the calamities that have hit you and shaping them and using them to get you to heaven. You also don't know about the blessing that's right around the corner. You just don't know. Just because God has said no 2,000 times in a row doesn't mean it's not a yes on the 2,001st time, especially when, like myself, you know in your heart that you have the right intentions. You know in your heart you just want an opportunity to be lifted up out of a pit, that you've lost faith in this world as the ticket to your happiness. See, joy in this world, to me, would be able to help people. Be able to help people more than I'm able to help them now. I could never be happy with a yacht or a $1 million mansion or anything like that. That's just not where I'm at. That doesn't mean I don't have dreams. Doesn't mean I don't have hopes. Just because I have different dreams and hopes than other people doesn't mean I don't have dreams and hopes. The dreams and hopes are in the heart. And truth is this. Our Blessed Mother said to St. Bernadette, I can't promise you happiness in this lifetime. Only in the next. Because I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I look at St. Bernadette, and if I look at St. Bernadette through the eyes of the heart, looks to me like she got a raw deal. Grew up in a poor family. Everybody called her stupid. She was humble. She was sweet. She was loving, and everybody treated her like a dog. Then she gets these excruciatingly painful conditions and dies in suffering. After seeing the Blessed Mother, she sees the Blessed Mother, she's devout to the Blessed Mother, she spreads the word of the Blessed Mother, and how does she get rewarded? By tuberculosis of the leg? which the doctor described as too painful to even, too horrible to even describe. Again, Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc, the same.
I was just letting you know I'm back for just a minute or two. There's some things that we have to deal with. I found out that someone still had a sign out there by my flag pole that said that we stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. And someone come and stole that. And I'm not too happy about that because that was a nice one.
Well,
but anyway.
You probably saved our audience because I've been going into a – tirade on truth and heart and just follow it where the Spirit is leading me. And it dawned on me yesterday. You know, it's kind of funny, Donald, when we put these shows together, and you and I have seen this 100 times, so you're my witness that this is true. You and I will start putting a project together, and then all of a sudden, we'll get a nudging from the Holy Spirit that says, no, we're going to take this in a whole different direction. The final product doesn't look anything like we first imagined it when we came up with the concept, or it looks very different. And this Faith Blaster, you know, the last two episodes were going to be truth and heart.
On the acronym Faith.
Yeah, and God just put it on my heart last night, Donald. You know, and I thought our human arrogance, I guess, our human pride. Boy, we think, oh, that was real clever how I came up with that faith. Okay, that's focus, aim, intensity, truth, heart. Oh, I'm so clever, I came up with that. We keep fooling ourselves and deluding ourselves into thinking that we're the ones that are leading us. God spoke to my heart yesterday, and he pierced my heart yesterday by telling me, okay, those last two, John, we're doing those last two at once. Because those last two are where your fight has been your entire life. My entire life has been the war between those two, truth and heart, between analytical man and emotional man. That's been my life story, Donald. You've seen that.
That's been
the war.
Yeah.
That's been the war because sometimes, and I talked about, you remember when we did the story with Billy Gaines, Blood on a Pew. You remember that story?
I do.
Sometimes truth sucks, Donald. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to say it. Sometimes the truth just plain sucks. And like I said, you take what happened with Billy Gaines and now reconcile it with what we said about Our Lady. Never was it known that anyone who sought your intercession fled your protection. Well, where were you in this circumstance? You said you'd never leave me, Lord. You'd never forsake me. Well, it sure looks like you forsook me here. It sure looks like you weren't here for me here because truth is based on just our little, we try to assimilate truth and understand truth, and all we have is a little sliver. Whereas heart is...
We don't see the whole picture.
Heart is
Amen.
Driving us because that's deep inside. That's coming from the inside out. And the devil's attack is attacking that heart. But what we need to understand is truth is truth. Whether or not we want to accept it, whether or not we want to accept it. Okay.
Yeah, well, hey, Don, I'm going to have to rock and roll, brother. But I think this was really, really good. I do appreciate it. And it's one of these things. A.B. May is still out here, and we're still working it. But I just found out that somebody had stolen my sign I had out there on my pet flagpole. And, I mean, that just... I don't know if they were trying to unravel my flag as well, so I'm going to be looking at this. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is
going to go ahead and close with a prayer and shut this down, and you have a blessed day.
You have a good one, my brother. You take care.
All right. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and end this with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.